come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation from the Heart to Heart Bible study titled God Judges Rightly, a study through 1 Samuel chapters 16 through 31. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
You know, you guys, do you realize you just sang Empty Me? Did you all sing that? What happens when you get emptied? How does that happen? You get poured out. Could we think about that for a half a second? Let me be poured out like wine upon the altar for thee. And so we want to be poured out for the Lord. I always want us to be really aware of what it is that we're singing, that we just really pay attention to the words. We're going to refer to what the things that we listen to all the time, and I just want us to be aware of that sort of thing. You know, a very funny thing happened to me the other day. Bill and I were sitting in my living room, and we were talking, and all of a sudden, Siri started answering me. And it really annoyed me. And I said, I'm not talking to you. Stop listening to me. And Siri said, I can't do that. And any of you ever seen 2001: A Space Odyssey? When Hal says, I can't do that, Dave. That's what it felt like. And you know, it was a good reminder to me. I know that you can go in settings and you can turn off Siri, which I refuse to call a her. It is not a person. It is an it. It is a thing. It is not a person. So you can go into settings and turn that it off so that it's not listening to you all the time. But it just was an awareness in my own heart that somebody is always listening to me. Always listening to me. And the Lord always hears everything that I have to say, and I don't know who else hears what I say. I can be talking with a group of people in a place, and all of a sudden I realize, oh, that person right over there, they're kind of listening. And so I need to be aware of the things that I say. So anyway, I have a big surprise for you. Today, we're going to go all the way through the rest of this study. Chapter 31. We're going to cover chapter 31 tonight. Your facilitators were aware of this. It's okay. Some of your facilitators don't have this lesson filled in either. So you can do the homework at home, but you'll have a chance to look over it with maybe some different ideas. And I know that the last lesson is an overview of things, and so you can go into that on your time when you're off for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And here's the reason why I did this. You didn't know about it because the Lord only let me do it a couple of days ago. So the reason that I am doing this is because I could not bear to end the study for the year with "and Saul died." And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you all. Okay, so I couldn't end it that way, and so the Lord made a better way for us to do this. So we'll do it tonight, we'll finish up tonight, and then next week, guess what we'll do? We'll still meet. We get to eat. Meet and eat. And so if you have people in your group who haven't been coming, would you contact them and say, come on next week. Come on over and have some food with us and enjoy some time together, some fellowship, some laughter, because, ladies, we need each other. We need to be able to do that. Now, along with all of that other stuff, I want to share with you, how many of you are still writing your scriptures? Oh, you ladies in the night are doing a lot better than the ladies in the morning. There were two ladies in the morning who raised their hands. But so I was sitting, if you don't know what these are, if you're new to the study, you don't know what these pages are, they're out there at the at our counter, and it's every day of the week that has a date, and next to that date are certain scriptures that you can write out in your own journal, and you just write them out. They're just for you and the Lord, and you will learn it, you will memorize the Word of God, and God will speak to you through it. And so I was doing that the other day. I was writing my scriptures. And as I was writing my scriptures, I came across this one. I went, oh, I really like this scripture. And I was looking at it and thinking, oh, I really like this one. And then all of a sudden, the question came to me that I thought about the fact that God's Word is alive. God's Word is new every morning. And then the question came, what have I learned new from God's Word today? And you know what? I didn't have an answer. You see, I'm not looking for something new that's a new out there or something, but it's something that it's in the Word. It's been there all this time, and it's like, oh, I see it now. I see it now. So God is always speaking to us through His Word. So I'm working really hard to always have something new to share with you guys and that the Lord shares with me through the writing of that scripture. So last week, Bethany told you about the tale of the two terrified kings, and she did a great job on that. I thought she did a wonderful job on that. I'm prejudiced because she's my daughter, and I am also right about this, because she did do a great job. And if you missed it, you can go at refugefamily.com/womensministry, and then you look at listen to or watch, and then you can see it on there. So, and Lord Jesus, as we just come to you right now, Lord, we are thankful for your Word. We're thankful, Lord, that you stand with us and that you love us. And Lord, there is just nothing in our lives that's going on right now, Lord, that's bigger than you. Not one thing. Not even that thing that just comes to mind right now. It's not bigger than who you are. And I thank you, Lord, for that confirmation of knowing that you are in complete charge of our lives and that there is nothing too hard for you, that you are faithful. Lord, you protected David. You are a faithful God. You are in control. You protected. You led David. You helped David, Lord, even though he was in a place where he shouldn't have been. So I thank you, Lord, for your presence with us right now. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that we would see you for who you are. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And so we start with chapter 29. We ended chapter 28 with the last message for Saul and the last meal for Saul. Remember that? Those things, that was the last we were going to hear of him. We will see him again, but not until chapter 31, and that will be to witness his death. We won't be hearing anything more about Saul in this 1 Samuel. That in chapter 31, we'll see that Saul is killed and his three sons are killed, just as Samuel said would happen when he arose from, so to speak, from the dead and came and told them that that prophecy. So meanwhile, back at the ranch, we're back at with David, and then the Philistines were gathered at Aphek. And because you've done your homework on 29 and 30, I probably won't do a whole lot of reading of the actual scripture, just so that we have time to get the whole thing in tonight. So the Philistines gathered at Aphek, Israelites gathered at Jezreel, and Jezreel is the place that is going to be the place of battle between the Philistines and the Israelites. That's where they're all up there together. The troops are passing by in chapter 2, or verse 2. The troops are passing by the important people, and as they're passing by, here comes at the end of them, comes David, along with his 600 men, with Achish, King Achish. We know about King Achish, who was king of where? King of Gath. And who lived in Gath? Goliath lived in Gath, and we see David walking with King Achish through this review. And here he is. He's going through there and walking with his 600 men. Achish, and then we see in verse 3, the princes of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" I'm telling you right now, Achish stood up for David and the servant, and this is what he said, is this not David? Now listen to this, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who's been with me these days or these years, and to this day I have found no fault in him since he defected to me. He is the servant. He said, he used that current word. What do you call it? The if you're using English properly, it's the present tense. He is the servant of King Saul of the Israelites, but he has defected to me. And so he defended him, but the princes of the Philistines were angry. They said, "Make this fellow return, that he can go back to the place where you gave him. You gave him that place to live in, and he needs to go back to it." The place where he would give him to go back to, you know, is Ziklag, and in Ziklag, that property still belongs to Israel today. Go back to that place to go down. Don't let him go with us, lest in the battle he become our adversary. In the middle of the battle, he begins to fight against us. For what could he reconcile himself to his master if not with the heads of these men? How can he reconcile himself with Saul if he were to put to death the Israelites? Now, this gets into a place, or David is in a place where he doesn't belong. And he has been doing some stuff that he shouldn't have been doing. So Achish is told to send David to his place that where you gave him. And in verse 5, it's the people are saying, "For goodness sake, he is the hero of the Israelites. Are you kidding me? You want him to take him into battle against the Israelites? He is their hero." So they tell him, "You cannot stay. He cannot stay with us." And in verse 6, then Achish called David and said to him, "Surely as the Lord lives, you have been upright. You're going out. You're coming in with me. And the army is good in my sight. And for this day, I have not found evil in you. Nevertheless, the Lords don't favor you. The other people don't like you. And so, therefore, go back and go in peace that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines." And so Achish, here in verse 6, Achish encourages David all the time, thinking that David has been fighting with his men for the Philistines. But we know that David's been lying about what he's been doing, don't we? He hasn't been killing Israelites. He has been killing Canaanites. He has been fighting for the land, still for Israel, really. And he's been killing them all so that there are no witnesses left behind. No one to tell the story that I'm not killing Israelites. Achish thought that David was trustworthy, while all the time that David was saying that he was battling in southern Israel, which he was, but he was twisting the truth. Twisting the truth. What is a half-truth? A lie. And so we know some things about David. One thing we know about David is that he was good looking. We've been told that all through the whole thing. He's a good looking man. And then we know that he's a man of valor. We know that about David. And we also know that he is a liar. And it is something that he dealt with throughout his life. Because he wasn't an outright liar, but he always twisted the truth so that he looked good, and the truth actually didn't come out. And so there are always consequences to lying, always. And so David would later write in Psalm 119, "Remove these lying lips from me. Remove these lying lips from me." And so God still, we know that God still used David, and God continues to use us even when we are struggling with sin in our life. But there's the key word. Are we struggling against the sin in our life? Or are we just going along with the flow, just doing it however we want to do it? And so he was still struggling with it. God uses us even when our constant struggle with sin. And so in verse 7, he tells David to go. And in verse 8, David says, but why? Why do I have to go? I want to go fight against my family. Is that what David said? No, that's not what David said, but that's what David was saying. Why can't I go? I want to go with you in this battle. How come I can't go? Have you ever noticed in your life that there are times when there's something that you really don't want to do, but then somebody tells you you can't do it? How much more do you want to do it because somebody told you you can't do it? They told me I can't run. I have never liked to run, but I want to run now. I will never be able to run, I know that, but I really want to, only because I was told, no, you can't do that. And so that's what was happening with David here. He didn't really want to go down and kill his own people, but he was told that he couldn't go. And then, how come I can't go? Well, in verse 9, Achish said, the others don't like you. They don't want you to go with us. And then in verse 10, so you are to go early in the morning, get up early in the morning, and when it's light, you should depart. God's timing is always right. There was a reason why he was to get up early in the morning and depart as soon as it got light. That was because God is in control. He needed to be at a certain place at a certain time, and he could only be at that certain place at that certain time if he got up early and went at the break of dawn. God is in control. He protected David from fighting his own people. God is faithful. God is calling David back to him, calling David back to himself. And so he arises and he goes back, he departs to return to the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel where the battle went on. And so imagine what history would be like had David gone on the fight with the Philistines. What would we have today? Nothing that we have today as we know it. Everything would have been changed at that time. You remember that David was weary of running from Saul, and he fled to the Philistines. He ran to the Philistines to hide there. No psalms were written during this time that he was in the Philistine land. David was in a backslidden position, in a backslidden state. Backsliding always has repercussions, but we'll see in our text tonight that it also has restoration, and we'll see how that restoration comes to us tonight. And so go back to your home. You remember that Achish gave Ziklag to David and his men and their families. And like I said, it's part of Israel today. And then moving on to chapter 30, the Amalekites attacked Ziklag. They burned it. They took the people. No one died. No one died. No one was killed. He's gone back to Ziklag, and it has been burned. They took all of the people, and no one died. Do you have any idea what that means, that God protected everything that belonged to David and his people? He protected every single one of them. Not one of them was killed. My life is safe in the hands of the Lord. It's completely safe in the hands of the Lord. I am protected by him. They went, and as they got to Ziklag and they found the situation there in verse 1, 2, 3, and that they had taken captive the people. So David and his men came to the city. There it was, burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. And then David and the people who were with him, verse 4, lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. They were just taken with mourning. They were so weary with weeping. And David's two wives had been gone, Hinnom and Abigail. They were taken captive also. And verse 6, now David was greatly distressed. He was greatly distressed for more than one reason. But one of the reasons that he was greatly distressed is that they wanted to stone him because he left his wives, the wives and the children. He took these men out and left them unprotected. And the people wanted to stone him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And then he went to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son. He said, bring me the ephod so that I can understand this. David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue the troops? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail you're going to recover all. David went to the Lord to find out what he should do. So David went, he and his 600 men, and they went, they came to the brook Bezer, where they stayed, where those stayed who were left behind. And so, but David pursued and with 400 men. So they left 200 men there at Bezer, the brook Bezer. They stopped in Bezer because they were so weary. They have been weeping for their families. They have nothing. It's all gone. It's all gone. And so they stayed behind, and David pursued with the 400 men, leaving the 200 behind. They found the Egyptian in the field, brought him to David. They gave him food, they gave him drink, and they gave him figs and raisins and brought him back to life, so to speak. He hadn't eaten for 3 days or 3 nights. And David said to him, who do you belong to? And he said, I'm a young Egyptian. I'm a servant of an Amalekite, and we went into Ziklag and we burned it. Tell me more. I want to know a little bit more about this. And so so he feeds the Egyptian. The Egyptian tells David what happened in Ziklag. Take me there. Can you take me there? Yes, I can take you there if you do not, if you promise not to give me back to my owner and you promise not to kill me, I'll take you to him. They left me for dead. I will be happy to take you to them. And there they were in verse 16. And David, can you take me down there? And so, I'll take you down to the troop. And then in verse 16, and when he had brought him down, they were spread out over all the land. They were eating, they were drinking, they were partying. And I'm going to just wrap this up really close here. They were singing, dancing, eating what they had taken from Judah. And I love this. In verse 18, it says that, so David recovered all that the Amalekites carried away. And he rescued his two wives. I hope you circle all the alls in your Bible. He recovered all, just like God told him he would. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil, or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. And then David took all the flocks and herds they had driven before them, those other livestock. So they had taken other livestock, so he's taken more. David said, these are mine. These are mine, because David had a plan. And we'll see what that plan was. Now, David came to the 200 men who had been, go back up to verse 17. I want you to notice there, because I don't understand this, and I want you to not understand it with me. Not a man of them escaped, except for 400 men. Not a man of them escaped, except for 400 men that ran away on camels. I think something's missing in that translation. Either nobody got away or 400 got away. It can't be both ways. So anyway, it's there. I don't understand it. And so I wanted to point out to you that there are things in there that none of us understands really, but it still happened that way. And so then we go down into verse 21, and we see that David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they stayed at Brook Bezer. So they went out to meet David, to meet him, and he greeted them. Then verse 22, then all the wicked and worthless men, these were the men of valor that followed David. They were called wicked and worthless men because they said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so. With what the Lord has given us, freely you have received, freely you need to give, is what David is saying. God gave us this. He's preserved us, and he's delivered into our hands the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is, who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be. Who stays by the supplies, they shall share alike. And so a law went into place at that particular time. We don't want to share with the spoil with those who didn't go with us. They are the keepers of the stuff. And David said, we have to. Those who pray and those who go all receive the same reward. It became law. David was in a backslidden place for a year and 4 months. For 16 months, the separation between my oldest and my secondborn, 16 months, he was in a backslidden place. And we see the repercussions of this. He had material loss, he had family loss, and he had the loss of respect from the men that followed him. He had lost it all. David was depressed, it says in verse 6. He'd also lost the respect of the men. They wanted to stone him, but David was not where he was supposed to be. He was in sin, and it cost him everything. He was not planning on paying that price, but it cost him everything. But verse 6 says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. He returned to the Lord, and he recovered all in just a couple of days. David was in a season of loss. Are you in a season of loss? Four things if you find yourself in a season of loss. Number one, encourage yourself in the Lord. What does that mean? Come back to the Lord. Come back to him. Encourage yourself in him. Did David praise? Did David sing? Did he write things that no one ever got to see? Did he just invest that time with the Lord? I believe that he read those scriptures that he already had. I believe that he got into the Word of God, that he praised and he sang and he got to a place of that intimate relationship with God. David would later write, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and than the honeycomb. He's talking about the Word of God. So do we write out our scriptures and get that Word of God in our hearts? See, David thought they were sweeter than honey. And we need to get that down in our hearts. I believe that he sang. Many times, I think I've shared it before, I've been with people who were listening to these songs and we go, oh, I love the way this music sounds. It just kind of carries you through. And all of a sudden you hear some of the words. And you go, oh, no, I can't listen to that anymore. Because I cannot unhear what I had just heard. Because what I just heard is in here now. And you know how hard it is to get rid of stuff that just slips in like that? I try to memorize scripture. If only it would go in the same way. It doesn't. It is a struggle for me to memorize scripture. But these things that are ungodly, these things that are untrue, these lies of the enemy just seep right in there while I'm singing along. unaware. We have to be careful of what we hear, what we allow ourselves to look at and read. There are times, now I know that there are many of you in here who think that I'm perfect. That's okay. I want to tell you I am not. I go through times when I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to hear from anybody. And I lock myself in my house, and I just can't bear to be around anybody else. Some call it a pity party. I call it the plum virus. Poor little old me. But I oftentimes, when I'm in that state, I will find myself my iPad, and I will put on my iPad somebody just reading the Bible. And do you know the things, the life that I have found by hearing, believe it or not, the book of Leviticus? Because it's alive. Because God uses his word. It is sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. God's word in our hearts. And so we encourage ourselves in the Lord. Number two, we inquire of the Lord as David did. He inquired of the Lord. There's no record of David asking the Lord while he was in the Philistine country. But here we have him going to the Lord for the answer. And not only did he go to the Lord, but he went to the priests. He went to someone else to help him hear from the Lord. We always need someone else. We will always need each other. And we sometimes just need to, can you just meet with me? Can you just pray with me? I need to hear a word from God. And I need for somebody else to just come alongside and hold my hands up in the air. I need somebody else to come alongside and be there for me. And so he encouraged himself in the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. And he engaged, number three, he engaged in the Lord. David got involved in the fight. He got involved in the fight. He went out and fought. We get involved in that spiritual battle. We put on our whole armor. Every day we put on our whole armor of God, and we get ready for the battle, because the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in high places. It is a spiritual battle that we have going on right now, and we need to fight that battle. There is a family that I know of. One of the girls ran away. And when she ran away, everybody's looking for her. And at this one particular moment, mom is saying to the other sister, I'm going to go out and look. Will you stay here while I go out and look, just in case she comes home? And as mom's closing the door, she hears the sister saying, Devil, you can't have her. You can't have my sister. You see, the sister went to battle for her sister. She took action. She got in the fight for someone else. And she defended someone else. So she engaged with the Lord. So we encourage ourselves, we inquire of the Lord, we engage for the Lord, and we are inspired by the Lord. David was inspired by the Lord to share, to give. Inspired of the Lord to give and to share. Freely you have received, freely you must give. The keepers of the stuff get the same reward. When a missionary goes out in another country, they travel out to another country, but they have a reward coming to them. Good, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But the person that is praying and is their prayer warrior, their prayer support, has the same reward. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then the person that is financially supporting them because of the work that they're doing out on the field, they have the same reward. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then there's the administrator of all those things that come in, and the Lord says to them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, all of them get the same jewel in their crown because they are all doing what God called them to do. The person that is supporting financially can't be out on the field and be a supporter. But that person out on the field can't be out on the field unless that supporter is there. And none of us can be out on the field without people supporting us in prayer. And somebody, at the administrator, has to put it all together and make sure that it all works. You see, we all get it. We are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. We all have that same reward. And so then in verses 26 through 31, really quickly here, we see that David has more than he had before he raided, so he shares. He becomes, and it becomes law, like we said. David is walking in the joy of the Lord, and he's doing something else as well. He's preparing for the future kingdom. He's preparing for the future kingdom. He is going to need these people in verses 26 to 31. He's going to need them to be on his side when he takes the kingdom. He doesn't yet know that Saul has been killed, but he is going to need these people on his side. He'll need all of these people to support him, and so he gives to them. And then we move on to chapter 31. So now we get back to Saul, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this because you're going to study it on your own. But in verse 1, the Israelites are running away from the Philistines. Many died at Mount Gilboa. The Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, Saul's sons, just as Samuel said would happen. In verse 3, we see that Saul is fatally wounded. He goes to his armor bearer and he says, "Kill me, because I don't want them to abuse my body. I don't want them to do anything to me, so I need you to kill me." Well, the armor bearer says, "I can't kill you, because if you die," he didn't say this, "but if the king dies and the armor bearer is still alive, the armor bearer is going to die anyway, because he didn't protect the king." And so King Saul falls on his sword. And when he falls on his sword, the armor bearer looks at him. He falls on his sword, commits suicide as well. And they both die there on Mount Gilboa. And so the Israelites ran in verse 6 and 7. The Israelites ran from the battle, and the Philistines win the land. They win that area. They get to have that land. Every Israelite has moved out. The Philistines find Saul. They strip him and his three sons. They cut off his head, as David had cut off the head of Goliath. And then they spread the news throughout the land that Saul and his sons were dead. They put Saul's armor, it says in verse 10, that they put Saul's armor in the temple of the Ashtaroths. What is the temple of the Ashtaroths? It is the temple of the goddess of sex. That's where the armor should go. That's where they put it. And so, and then they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. Bethshan is a really nice place, but it wasn't that day. Verse 11, "Now when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and traveled all night, and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, and they came to Jabesh and burned them there." This is the first and only account of cremation in the Bible. The reason that they had to do it is that the bodies were rotting. They had to cremate them. But they took the bones and they buried them there under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh, and fasted, mourned for 7 days. So this is what happened. 40 years before, remember that little phrase, all night? 40 years before this story, Saul had just been anointed king. And when he had just been anointed king, there came word to him that Nahash, the Ammonite, had told the people of Jabesh-Gilead that "I am going to put your eyes out. I am going to blind you." And Saul heard about it. And it says in chapter 11 of 1 Samuel, we have already gone over it, Saul and his men marched all night long to save the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and he rescued them. And they never forgot, so they rescued him. Yes, he was dead, but he still reaped what he sowed. Early on, Saul sowed some very good seeds. And he reaped those seeds. As time went on, he sowed some very evil seed, and he reaped from that as well. We reap what we sow. And so, looking back, what do we do in those seasons of loss? We encourage ourselves in the Lord. We inquire of the Lord. We engage for the Lord. And we are inspired by the Lord. In other words, we return to him. We return to Christ. We ask him first. We fight the good fight. And we become generous, gracious givers with the kingdom in mind. Saul had been blessed with some very good things. Saul had been given a whole kingdom. He had been given so much by God. But he came to a time that he thought it was all his. And this is where we find him at the end of the day. So where will we be? We will find ourselves encouraged ourselves in the Lord, inquiring of the Lord, engaging in the Lord, and inspired by the Lord. And so, Father, I thank you, God, that you have given us things to really make our lives different. We want to serve you, Lord. We want to bless you. We want to honor you. And, Lord, we want to find ourselves in a place where we are always thinking of your kingdom, Lord. We are always thinking of you. You are always on our minds, Lord. And we thank you, Father. I pray, Lord, as these ladies get into their small groups, that they would bless one another with the blessing that you've given them. Lord, freely we have received, we freely give to you. And we are thankful, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.